As the weather does tend to turn cooler, we do start looking for more things to do indoors. Well, mission accomplished at Varsity World Film Week. That's a showing of multiple foreign films at Ashland's Varsity Theater, presented by the theater's parent company and the Ashland Independent Film Festival. It all starts tomorrow. Joanne Feinberg is the director of programming at the Varsity World Film Week and the Ashland Independent Film Festival as well. And we also have with us Andrew Mudge, the director of The Forgotten Kingdom, one of the films being featured at Varsity World Film Week. Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Joanne, let's start with you and tell us a little bit about the history of the event, because as I was looking at the numbers, I realized that World Film Week actually predates the Ashland Independent Film Festival itself.
It does. John Schweiger, the owner of Coming Attractions Theaters and the Varsity, started World Film Week 24 years ago. So this is the 24th annual edition. We got involved last year was our first year. Lee Fuchsman, the vice president there, has been working really closely with us during the festival in April and asked us to join in and bring some of the great films that I get to see all year but don't necessarily include in April to us in October.
So for the folks who might get a little confused, especially seeing the name of the Ashland Independent Film Festival attached to this, what are the basic differences between Varsity World Film Week and the Ashland Independent Film Festival?
Right. April is really our main event. It is our main event, and that is a film festival. We have many, many filmmakers who come into town. We're screening films for 5 days. There's lots of events and panels and discussions, and it's really bringing filmmakers to the community. This is a little different. We do have one special guest coming to town, Rob Fruchtman, who's the director of Sweet Dreams. But otherwise, it's really just a curated week of what we think are some of the best independent films from around the globe.
Now, The Forgotten Kingdom is actually making a repeat visit to Ashland, isn't it? Because it was part of the festival in April.
Right. And we do that. We did that last year to great success. There's some films that this was a wonderful film. It's shot in Africa, and Andrew will tell you some more about it. But it won our audience award, the John C. Schweiger Audience Award, for Best Narrative Feature. And we just wanted it. It was so special, and Andrew did such a wonderful job interacting with our audience. We've heard so much about people wanting to see the film back in Ashland, and this was a way for us to do that.
So, Andrew Mudge, it sounds like you've made quite a few friends in Ashland.
I do love that town, I have to admit. I think about it a lot.
Great. Well, tell us about the story told in The Forgotten Kingdom.
Well, it's a film mostly set in the country of Lesotho, which is sort of a very little known, very small country, which is an enclave within South Africa.
It's completely surrounded by South Africa, isn't it?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And the story is about a young man who was living in Johannesburg, and he's sort of a tough city kid hustler, and his father dies, and he's faced with sort of this obligation to return his father's body back to his village and his country of Lesotho. So the story is sort of a journey of this guy going home to his original place where he hasn't been since he was just a kid, and you know, he meets a girl and starts to fall in love with her, and the dad gets in the way. So it's sort of like a coming of age story set in Lesotho.
One of the stories of the small town guy getting away to the big city and then having to return to his roots, and all
kinda,
sorts of
yeah.
complications
yeah.
ensue. Is it based on any sort of a true story, Andrew?
No, it's based on a lot of stories of people going to work in the gold mines of South Africa. You know, one of the reasons HIV/AIDS became such a pandemic in Southern Africa was the gold mines, sort of people contracting the disease there and then bringing it back to their villages and their rural communities. And it's such a common story of men going to work to sort of make it rich in the gold mines and only coming back when they're in their coffins. And I thought it made for a very good beginning of a story.
Boy, it really does. And do the gold mines figure prominently in The Forgotten Kingdom?
No, they don't. They're not at all. The film begins, we just know that that's where the father used to work. And the film begins with the main character finding his father, dead in one of these townships outside of Johannesburg, and finding a note that he has to bring him back home.
We can certainly tell by your accent, and also because we cheated and asked Joanne, but you are an American filmmaker. But obviously this is not a film based in America, or particularly with American outlooks on things. What appealed to you most about about this particular setting, this particular story?
Well, I've always loved traveling. I've always loved being abroad, and I think I fantasized about making a foreign film to some extent. 10 years ago, I was visiting my brother, who was a Peace Corps volunteer in Lesotho, and I was just completely captivated by this country, and I thought it was just unbelievably cinematic, and I couldn't believe that nobody had ever made a movie here. So it just sort of all these elements came together, and it just seemed like a grand adventure to go and make a film in another country.
And what language is the Forgotten Kingdom in?
It's in Sesotho.
Which is the language of Lesotho?
Yep.
With English subtitles, I'm sure.
Yes, with subtitles.
All right. Let us go back to Joanne Feinberg then. And let me invite the listeners to join us once again. We're talking about Varsity World Film Week starting tomorrow in Ashland. It is a co-production of Coming Attractions Theaters, which owns the Varsity Theater in Ashland, and the Ashland Independent Film Festival, for which Joanne Feinberg is director of programming. Andrew Mudge is the director of the feature film The Forgotten Kingdom. You can join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Our Rogue Valley local number for Medford and Ashland listeners and surrounding areas, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Does it get any harder, Joanne, over time to assemble a film festival because there are, for example, so many films that are seen online now?
You know, just before I answer that question, I want to say that Andrew will be Skyping in for Q&As after the screenings of the films this weekend. So if you want to have a chance to speak with him once you see the film, we're making that possible.
So he'll be on the big screen at the theater?
He will be on the big screen.
Oh, that
yes,
sounds fun.
It's great. There's lots of challenges for programming a film festival. This World Film Week is a little different because some of these films do have distribution. Most of the films that we screen during April are still on the film festival circuit, as they say. Films are going online much faster than they did, but filmmakers are looking at so many options to screening their films. So most of the time they have not gotten to that point. And I think one of the things that is so important about film festivals in general and also World Film Week like this is connecting audiences with filmmakers and filmmakers with audiences. And I just hear over and over from filmmakers, one, how special Ashland is in that way because we have amazing audiences. So the questions that they get are just so intelligent and inspiring. And I think they don't want to let that experience go. They've worked so hard to make these films, years of their lives, and the interaction with an audience is so critical. So a lot of them wait, if that answers your question.
I tell you, they almost crave the chance for some interaction with
the
people in the audience.
I think they do. I mean, you're working in your own little bubble, per se, for so long. And,
it's kind of like working in broadcasting. You send your stuff out and hope somebody's there to receive it.
Yeah. So the role of festivals is critical, I think, for communities like Ashland to get those kind of films and for filmmakers to get that feedback.
Andrew Mudge with The Forgotten Kingdom, you mentioned liking Ashland a lot. I mean, had it been to other festivals as well?
Actually, no. I premiered my film at Ashland, and I've since been to about 15 other festivals. I want to reiterate what Joanne was saying. Yeah, I mean, it is true. It's such a grueling process, and it's just very insular within your own group of people, and it's sort of a long, lonely road filmmaking can be, and it really is sort of the ultimate to share it with an interested, inquisitive audience.
People
you know, that's totally on board with the kind of film that is. You know, it's mine is not a very commercial film. And Ashland, you know, was great for that. That's I think that's what made it so special for me, the audiences.
So will it go on any sort of broad release? I mean, what's the eventual sort of release pattern for something like The Forgotten Kingdom? Where what's the highest use of it?
Well, we're kind of on the cusp of a distribution deal in the States. And we have a distribution deal already in place in South Africa, so it'll be in the theaters in Southern Africa and in this country, North America, and again, you know, Canada and the States. It probably won't have a theatrical release, but it will, sort of be video on demand and DVDs. And we're trying to get distribution in Europe as well.
I hadn't asked. The Sesotho is the language it's in. Is that right?
Yes.
And do you speak that yourself, Andrew?
No, I speak a little bit. I can get by, but I certainly like. I know the script very well. You know, I lived with the script and the translation, so I can almost speak the script. And I have a lot. I have a lot of help with translations.
Okay, I was going to ask about the challenge that presents trying to get your actors to get the words out the way you want them. You know, you envision them getting said, but you don't really understand them yourself.
Well, it's not that it's not that difficult because I have a. So I'm sitting on set next to a script supervisor, and that is a Mesotho person who, their whole job is to make sure that the actors are saying what's on the script. But so you know, then it kind of just falls on me to kind of keep it honest, keep you know, and sort of direct the actors and sort of make sure everything feels authentic. And my feeling, I always tell people, is you don't really need to understand the language to know if somebody is delivering a genuine performance
versus looking like somebody acting.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
You can just tell that without knowing any language. It's a phenomenal thing. It's because it's not really about the words. It's about something on a whole different level.
Whether they're really being human beings and being authentic and all that.
Right.
All right, let's take a call. We have Julie and Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Varsity World Film Week with Joanne Feinberg and Andrew Mudge, director of The Forgotten Kingdom.
Hi, did you say Julie?
I did.
Oh, good. Hello. Hi. I wanted to say something about the amazing symbology of the movie and the powerful themes that run throughout it that really were important to me. There's a really strong theme of family and unity. And then the transformative journey that the main character goes through as his values change, as he makes this journey, this physical journey to his ancestral town. And then it's basically a powerful reminder that there is this kingdom that we have forgotten, that there's this kingdom can be defined as a community of love. And you can really see the love that is still retained and valued in that small village. And I think that's one of the things that his journey comes to realize for himself. So I just wanted to really stress that it's not just a love story, coming of age, you know, maybe that's what coming of age is, but there are some really important values that are very beautifully communicated.
All right, thanks for that, Julie.
Well
appreciate
said.
That.
You should go on the road with me, Julie.
Right. She'll be handling the functions in the studio in case the Skyping doesn't work out as well. But I imagine you've heard this sort of testament before, Andrew, about the Forgotten Kingdom.
Yeah. It's always different. You know, different audiences have different responses. But I think certainly, you know, what she said is at the core to what the story is. So it's really great to hear. Something like that.
We were just talking, though, about making sure that you can track the authenticity of the actors as they work. How familiar are you with the culture, though, in which they live? And you know, there are differences culture to culture, subtle ones, obviously, but in how people interact with each other.
And I'm very familiar. I spent about a year and a half living there before we started filming. During that time, I'm working on various drafts of the script, having many sort of trusted colleagues in Lesotho who I was running the story by, and kind of they were helping me in the development process. So, you know, it was checked the whole way, and the end result is a mix of very sort of, I mean, a cultural sort of depiction mixed with, you know, an artistic contribution of something on a whole nother level. I mean, it's got, like, the film has this sort of a quality of magic realism in it, and that's something that I brought, but mixed in with the Basutu culture.
All right, so I want to ask Joanne Feinberg here, though, in addition to The Forgotten Kingdom, and I look at the other films in the list, and how many altogether are there?
We have 14 films, and there are 6 documentaries and 8 narrative features.
All right, that answers the next question. Oh. How many of those are documentaries, how many narratives?
So we try to put a mix of films together.
And obviously you have The Forgotten Kingdom here, which is one of the headliners here as a narrative film, and with subtitles. How many others are going to require some reading of the audience? It is World Film Week here.
Right. Most of the films have subtitles. I think we have maybe two. There's a film from Canada, a documentary, Stories We Tell, by Sarah Polley, who's a well-known actress and director. Fabulous story about memory and family that does not have subtitles. And Dirty Wars, which is also a documentary by about the journalist Jeremy Scahill, best-selling author, and his look at covert wars around the globe. Really powerful.
He's been a guest on the program, and he got a lot of phone calls.
I think Ashland will be extremely interested in this film.
No doubt. And so how many chances will people have to see any of the films? How many times are any of these shown?
Right. Well, it's 7 days, and almost every film is playing every day during the week, sometimes more than once. We have a few films that are just playing. Andrew's film is just playing this weekend, and I think on Wednesday. So a few films have had some limitations on the number of times that we can show them.
Okay.
But there are lots of tickets left. You can get them at the box office at the Varsity or online. So no worries in that way.
Andrew, I want to ask about the reactions to The Forgotten Kingdom. You've obviously displayed this for English-speaking audiences. Have you played this for a number of Sesotho-speaking audiences?
I have. We had our African premiere at the Durban International Film Festival in July. That's not in Lesotho. There were, maybe a dozen or so Basotho people there, and their response was really positive, and they had all sorts of questions when there's 12 Basotho in an audience of 300 other Africans and a mix of people from all over Africa, I think that their voices might be quelled a little bit. It'll be really interesting to see what happens in December when I release the film in Lesotho, and I think maybe that'll be the real test. But so far, it's been received very well.
It seems time to ask the question. So people who live in Lesotho speak Sesotho, and they are Mesotho?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. The language is Sesotho. The singular is Mesotho, and the plural is Basotho, and the country is Lesotho.
Wow. Okay. I actually know that it's not pronounced Lesotho simply because my cousin worked there after college herself, so a very,
yeah,
very attractive country to her still. She's been back to Africa quite a few times. So in addition to getting it subtitled in English, is there an Afrikaans subtitled version? Are there other subtitled versions out there as well?
No, it's playing at a festival in Italy next week, and they've made an Italian subtitled version, but for the most part, it's just in English and, in Sesotho.
It seems like, Andrew, as we listen to you talk about the film and the whole process of making it, this is still a labor of love for you. So you haven't gotten caught up in the whole movie-making machinery that seems to afflict Hollywood, where people just talk about, yeah, we crank it out and crank out the dollars and that sort of thing. And and you haven't gotten to that point, which I'm sure you're very happy about.
Well, for better and for worse. I mean,
because you don't have the money either, right?
Right. I don't know. I don't think there's a choice in the matter. I think this film is like giving birth to a child, and it is what it is. And I just sort of bring it up and try to do the best with it. And it's not that kind of film. It's not the kind of film where I'm wheeling and dealing. It's the kind of film where I'm playing it to small audiences, but passionate and interested, and those are the kind of people, for me, that's the most rewarding to show it to.
So, Andrew, is this your first full-length feature? I understand you've done lots of shorts before this.
Yeah, it's my first feature, yep.
And so what processes, what presented itself as challenges as you worked in the longer format?
Well, I don't think I realized how many years it would take, first of all. I think that there's always, I think it's one of those, making a feature film might be one of those things where if you knew the work it would go into it, you wouldn't do it. So thank God you don't know. you go into it with a little bit of ignorance. I've all these marks on my calendar, like, oh, and then I'll be free to start my life again here. And it constantly gets pushed back. Sorry?
I was going to say, you sound like a parent, It's like, when are things going to get back to normal? Oh, wait, this is normal.
But he did such a good job with the first that we really hope he'll forget a little and enter this process again.
Yeah, it's a positive experience for sure.
So is there another film on the horizon there? I mean, you know, getting back to your life, I mean, there must be something else you're thinking about for down the road or some script you'd like to work on.
I am. I'm trying to get another feature made. I don't think I'm not sure I ever have it in me to do it the way, I mean, I certainly couldn't because this was one of those films, The Forgotten Kingdom, where it was a completely do-it-yourself, where I raised the money and, you know, kind of wore every hat. I'm not sure I could do that right now. I certainly financially couldn't because I've kind of used my, you know, reached out to all my financiers for this film. So I'm hoping with the next project, I will get to sort of play more of the director and the writer and have the rest kind of taken care of. I think that's the dream of every filmmaker, that, you know, they graduate to that level.
Right. Somebody else gets to do all the producing
part. Movie director.
Right. So Joanne Feinberg, obviously we talked about the fact Forgotten Kingdom will be shown three times. Looks like everything else about seven times or so. And is there a ticket price that covers all? Is there like an all festival pass for Varsity World Film Week?
There are. It's $8.50 for tickets. There are no passes for this. But we also have a $6.50 ticket for seniors, AIFF members. So film festival members get a discount. Students, military, and children get the $6.50 ticket price.
From having talked to the folks, and you included at the Ashland Independent Film Festival before, it sounds like you get a few weeks to breathe after the Spring Festival, then on to the next.
Exactly.
So trying to pick films for Varsity World Film Week while you're choosing films for the Ashland Independent Film Festival must be a challenge.
It is. We just started September 1st. We officially opened our call for entries for new films. So there's a little bit of an overlap, but it's ongoing on year. And we also have monthly film series that we are doing. We also did a partnership with OSF last month for the Daedalus Film Festival. Right. So we're bringing back Blood Brother from that.
Never a dull moment at the Ashland Independent Film Festival, presenting with Coming Attractions Theaters, the 24th annual Varsity World Film Week, starting tomorrow at the Varsity Theater in Ashland. Joanne Feinberg is Director of Programming for Ashland Independent Film Festival. Thank you. And Andrew Mudge, the Director of The Forgotten Kingdom, congratulations on the awards and best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. Good to have you both here. We'll come back on the Jefferson Exchange after a break with today's Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 3rd of October, 2013. It was on this day, 1895, Stephen Crane's novel, The Red Badge of Courage, was published, the story of a Civil War private, Henry Fleming. It's the birthday of Emily Post, born in Baltimore, 1873, who wrote about etiquette. Emily Post, who said, "Manners are a sensitive awareness of the feelings of others. If you have that awareness, you have good manners, no matter what fork you use." It's the birthday of the novelist Thomas Wolfe, born Asheville, North Carolina, 1900, the youngest of eight children. His most famous novel was Look Homeward, Angel, a thinly veiled autobiography. He was on a trip to Seattle in 1938 when he came down with pneumonia, which turned into tuberculosis of the brain, and Thomas Wolfe died 18 days before his 38th birthday, leaving behind enough material for two new novels, The Web and the Rock and You Can't Go Home Again. And it was on this date in 1849, Edgar Allan Poe was found unconscious outside a tavern in Baltimore. According to the man who found him, he was in great distress and in need of immediate assistance. He'd been en route from Richmond to Philadelphia, and he was found on Lombard Street outside Ryan's Tavern, dressed in dirty, ill-fitting clothing, taken to the hospital, lapsed in and out of a coma, died 4 days later. Because he'd been found outside a tavern, people assumed that Edgar Allan Poe was drunk, and so the temperance movement made an example of him. Poe did have his problems with drink. He was liable to become very ill after only a couple of drinks, but he did have long periods of sobriety. He was aware of his problem. And so there's been speculation about the cause of his death. It was election day, and the tavern was a polling place, and there was a theory that a political gang had kidnapped him and drugged him and beat him and forced him to vote repeatedly at different ballot boxes all over the city. It was a custom at the time. It was called cooping. When Poe was found, his clothes were dirty and didn't really fit him, and he was a man who had always prided himself on his neat and stylish appearance. There's a relatively recent theory that says Poe might have died of rabies. Dr. Michael Benitez, a cardiologist at the University of Maryland, looked at Poe's case and said that first-person accounts of Poe's last days make a strong case for rabies. He was disoriented. He refused water, and hydrophobia is another common symptom of rabies infection. But in the absence of an autopsy report, there is no way to say for sure what caused his death. Here's a poem by Edgar Allan Poe, El Dorado. Gaily bedight a gallant knight in sunshine and in shadow had journeyed long singing a song in search of El Dorado. But he grew old, this knight so bold, and o'er his heart a shadow fell as he found no spot of ground that looked like El Dorado. And as his strength failed him at length, he met a pilgrim shadow. Shadow, said he, where can it be, this land of El Dorado? Over the mountains of the moon, down the valley of the shadow, ride, boldly ride, the shade replied, if you seek for El Dorado. Edgar Allan Poe's El Dorado. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Quercus, publisher of Richard North Patterson's new novel, Loss of Innocence, about a family's collapse amid bitter betrayals. In bookstores everywhere, Quercus, stories worth reading, books worth recommending. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.